Proverbs chapter 4, verse 25, as a part two, if you will, as a continuation of last Sunday's sermon, to look unto him. Look with me at Proverbs 4 and verse 25. Let your eyes look right on. Let your eyes look right on, and let your eyelids look straight before you. It's interesting in the few verses before this verse that the wise man, Solomon, he talks about human nature, the human faculties. He says in verse 23, keep the heart. In verse 24, keep your lips and your mouth. Verse 25, your eyes. Verse 26, your feet. So he's talking about all the different faculties that make up men and women to see that they're walking straight. But I looked at this exhortation, and that's what it is. Let your eyes look right on, and let your eyelids look straight before thee. And I said, I asked myself, why? Why would we have such an exhortation to those who either know the gospel or those who are yet on the outside looking in? Well, first of all, because sin plagues us at every single turn. And it's not natural for us to look straight, to look straight on. We're more like this. We get distracted. Work, play, recreation, focus. It's not natural to us. It's natural, it's common, and it's usual to look around. And people talk about having multitasking. Now, I don't believe there's such a thing. To have multiple looks, to be very distracted, to entertain many worldly thoughts. That's natural to us. So the exhortation, if you know Christ or you don't, look unto him and keep looking. Paul says he warns some preachers and some people about getting away from the simplicity in Christ. And we can use the Bible to do that. But I'm not complex. I just want to just, the best way forward is straightforward. As in last Sunday, so this today, look straight upon Christ. Look straight upon Christ. Whether you've looked before or you've never looked in your life, behold him, stare upon him, gaze upon Christ for soul cleansing day to day. For your first cleansing from sin and uncleanness, and then with all your looking, let your eyes look right on, and your eyelids look straight before you. It's a simple task. As soon as we leave here, we've got things to do. Read about a message on this right here, and this has been mulling on my mind for 2 weeks. I thought, I found it. I've had more trouble looking straight on these last 2 weeks than had I not seen it. We are not ignorant of Satan's devices. When you get things that bless you and the Lord opens your eyes to them, as he did on those two on the road to Emmaus, Satan just loves to distract. Bring up something that's more important. Well, I need to be here. I can't be here because I did this, I did that. Just say no. Just say no. We meet a couple times a week. Is it that difficult? I don't have a child at home anymore, so it's not as difficult as it used to be. But just keep your eyes right on. It may not be anything I say. It may be something that somebody says in the congregation as a point of fellowship, as a point of iron sharpening iron. That's why I asked myself this question. Why this exhortation? Because sin plagues us all the time. There's only one way, one life, one truth, one needful look, and a continued look until He calls us home. I cannot overemphasize this point. Whether we style ourselves as a Christian or yet we are undone in our foul estate, if you reason well, if you know anything about the Scriptures, you know that this way, His way, is the best way. It's the right way. Now, it may not be the most humanly successful. You may not make a lot of money if you're digging ditches. But at the end, what matters? What matters? You may be the finest athlete that the county, this state has ever seen. You're going to get old and die. And there's nothing more pathetic than seeing an old actor in Hollywood trying to look young by all the stuff. It's just pathetic. It's just like, let it go. Let it go. But the believer is a realist. His eyes have looked upon the Lamb. His eyes have beheld and spied and embraced that pearl of great price and will not let it go. And the Scriptures to you and I, our exhortation, let our eyes look straight on. The gospel is straight and narrow. The way is straight and narrow. It's not broad. I pray for myself and I pray for us that the world would become distasteful to us. This is far too tempting and too many things that glitter and we like to get a hold of. I can, as I said, not overemphasize this point. We know that this way is the best way. It's called the King's Highway in Isaiah 11, and it says those who are on it are safe and secure and blessed. Find it, get on it by God's grace, and stay on this truly happy path. Because I know, and I can tell you, I've tried many other, I'm not as like Solomon, I haven't tried it all, but I've tried many things in my youth. All other journeys, all other highways will lead to destruction. That's just the truth. That's the simple truth. Live your life. Do the best you can. Be the best student you can. I'm not saying any of that stuff, but in all you're doing, in all you're getting, let your eyes look right on. That's even worldly good advice. We'll see this. You know, when you're running a race, you know, when Carol, when they had track and field day at Jackson, I don't know if they still have it or not, but she's pretty fast. And she's sitting there with all these other kids and stuff, and I walked over and I said, it's two things, just two things. Look straight ahead and run through the finish line. All those kids stopped. I said, run through the finish line. She did very well. Even humanly, if you want to be successful in business, if you want to do this, get rid of the distractions. Well, our problem is, we take up too many of these things in to the distraction of the gospel. As I said, we meet on Wednesday and Sunday. We're not as far as hourly over during the week. It's just a couple hours. Let my eyes look right on, and our eyelids look straight before us. Why? Secondly, because many are the examples of those who looked off. Some were restored, and others were not. David and Bathsheba, he was doing fine. He should have been out in the battlefield where the king was supposed to be. Now, I'm going to take my, because I'm king, I can do what I want to do. I'm going to take, pick a break. And then he spies this woman. bathe in lust. Lust produced sins. Oh, he was a believer. He lost his son. The son died direct because of that. He killed a friend and then told his friend to make sure you back off. Now, what kind of a testimony is that? So there's many things that happen when we sin. We don't sin on an island. But he was restored by God's grace. But he had many a sorrow. Didn't return. Well, maybe that was when he said, "Return unto me the joy of your salvation." What about Korah and his rebellion in Numbers 16? They did start the race well. They ran well. But then they lusted after what they thought was better treasure than the bullion found in the everlasting gospel. There was no restoration. The earth opened up and swallowed them up. Lot's wife, what a tragedy. She looked back. She didn't keep her eyes focused. Let our eyes look right on and straight before us. No, she turned back and perished. Better to leave like a Christian in Pilgrim's Progress when he first started hearing the gospel and he was leaving the city of destruction, and his family said, "No, listen to that. Don't, you know," and he just put his hand, he looked, ran, put his fingers in his ears and wouldn't hear. Oh, come on, Pastor. That's back in the 1800s, 1600s. That's way back. Melinda and I have often talked, and I know society is a little different, but just some of the things that Spurgeon says and J.C. Ryle and Philpott, if they were alive today, they would be so offended by our actions, by the things that we think we have liberty in. And I'm saying this is, it's hard to say that. You pick somebody way back when, you can't live history that way, but the gospel never changes. The believer never changes. Society changes. I've talked to many pastors, and the world just seems to be enclosing in. I don't care about Armenian churches, the grace churches. What we allow would never have been allowed 50, 100 years ago. But we do have liberty and freedom in Christ. But we are exhorted to look straight on. And the more distractions, and this country is full of distractions. Full of distractions. Trying to raise the children in fear and admonition of the Lord is tough. It's always been tough, but it's tough. I could go on and on. I could talk of Demas, who hath forsaken the gospel, Alexander the coppersmith, Ananias and Sapphira, Felix in Acts chapter 24. He said, and he heard the gospel, and that's what concerns me. Some people come in and they listen for a while and then they leave. It concerns me because he listened to Paul. He listened to Paul and he quaked and he shook and he started to get terrified. And he says, "You know what? Send him away. I'll hear when I have a more convenient." It never happened. Today, while it's called today, harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation. Come, look unto Christ, be ye saved, and let your eyes look straight on. You may not have tomorrow. You may not have tomorrow. Others, showing the hard struggle of looking off Christ, and then by God's good grace, were enabled to look back on again. Peter, Lord restored him. So I'm not, this is exhortation to everybody. John, Mark, Barnabas, basically everyone who's ever named the name of Christ. Do we see now how we need to look straight on with our eyes? Just look straight on. Because we're so prone, like that song, prone to wander, Lord, I feel, prone to leave the God I love. The third question of why? Why is this exhortation here? Well, other encouragement and difficulties. Turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14 and verse 20. Paul says, not as though I had already attained, though he did, right? He was a believer. So he's attained eternal life. Neither were already perfect. Isn't he perfect in Christ? Yes. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. This is a believer. This is the struggle that the believer has. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I'm looking, pressing, reaching forth to those things which are before. I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of Christ Jesus. Verse 20, for our conversation is in heaven, for whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus. There's a look, and you continue to look, and your eyes are right on. I press for the mark. This sounds like somebody who needs to know Christ. I can't explain it. Paul, Henry, at least 10 years ago, has a wonderful message on this right here. It's just going back and forth. He apprehended Christ, or Christ apprehended him, but he wasn't content, stagnation. He wanted to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Christ. Look forward. Look straight ahead. And even sometimes we ourselves distract one another. We are a family, and you tell me that there's, you know, dysfunctional. Oh, sure there's dysfunctional families. The Church of Christ. We're all at different growth stages. And so an older brother is like gets discouraged or gets upset. Well, remember what it was like. But then don't make excuses. I don't have the wisdom of this. That's why I just say, look straight, look forward. Come talk to me. I'll look to Christ. Oh, there's more to it than that. No, there isn't. Really isn't. There really isn't. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 through 27. By faith, Moses, when he was come of years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He kept his eyes straight. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing, looking unto Christ, seeing him who is invisible. Now that's, people talk about horses, and put blinders on. That's what we need to do. That's what we need to do. And it has nothing to do with caring for one another, because we're family. You care for one another. You encourage one another. You call one another. If you can't call, you whatever. You do these things. We're just a little group, but that's okay. But still. In iron sharpened iron, all these principles apply. But I know, from the last couple of weeks after this passage was revealed to me, I'll do that. Next morning, it's 3 or 4 hours before I even opened up the book. I read good books, but not the book. Was it Philpott or Ryle said, we ought to just read the Bible. The Bible, how many Bibles do I have at my house? We ought to read the Scriptures. Why? Because the Scriptures tell of Him. And that would be keeping our eyes focused. Matthew chapter 6. This is why we ought to keep our eyes right on, straight on, dead on. Matthew chapter 6, verse 22. The light of the body is the eye. If the eye therefore be single, looking straight on, thy whole body shall be full of light. That eye and single, I looked in the Greek, it's clear vision. I thought that was interesting. Clear vision. That's clear vision. Because we look through a glass dimly, but we can still have a clear view of Christ. Let our eyes look right on. And that second part of that passage in Proverbs, I'm like, well, how can you look with your eyelids? Think about it. Hey, Nathan, hey, Melinda, hey, I need this, I need that. Nope, I'm going to close my eyelids to that. The eyelids, you can close. You can open them up and look. And when stuff gets too hazy and fuzzy, just close them. I'm not saying that literally. I'm just saying that's how Spurgeon, he looked at the same thing. He says, close your eyelids. Close. You close them, you protect your eyes. The single eye, light. We need more light. Now, Matthew 7 and verse 14. Why? Because straight is the gate, narrow the way, which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. There's so many distractions. There's so many distractions. There's so many things in the flesh. Satan is very real. In this world, there's so many things that pulls on your time and your energy. And that's all part of being alive. I remember I heard a gentleman that used to go to Henry's church. He's passed away now. He made a comment about raising children I thought was one of the wisest statements. He says, no is the first word our children hear, and no is the last word they learn. Well, I don't think it's just children. I think it's us. I think it's us. We don't want to say no to anything. This world can offend our God and our gospel at the drop of a hat. They think it's strange that you don't run with them, says the scriptures. Well, don't run with them. Close your eyes. This way is fraught indeed with many trials, dangers, toils, and snares, the song says, but it is Christ's way. And he has called us unto it, and he has called us unto him. It's the best way. It's the way of mercy and grace. Blessed indeed, graced indeed are they who find him and by his Holy Spirit enabling keep their eyes singular and straight ahead, not glancing to the right or to the left. Lord, help us to keep our eyes looking right on, and our eyelids looking straight before. It's not an easy way, but it's the best way, and it is a way of peace. Well, like I said, I just thought this was just complemented last week's lessons to look unto him message, but it just struck me very right between the eyes. Look straight ahead. Look straight ahead. Stay focused. Endure. What did you read? You read this morning. You read that Christ. Look, he was at the cross, despising the shame, and yet he was. It was a joy set before him. I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, but I know who brings tomorrow and who has it in his hand. And may he enable us and give us grace to when we walk. If you don't walk, you've seen these things on YouTube where these people are walking in front of trains and they're looking at their phone and they about get killed. That's what we're distracted. Let's put things down. Let's pick up the scriptures and let's communicate. Let's exhort one another while it is called today. as things are not easy out there. Lord bless the preaching of His word. Bruce, would you close us?